You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I hope you enjoyed your Labor Day weekend. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee started hearings, confirmation hearings. Judge Brett Kavanaugh was supposed to, although he started a little late, be introduced by people that support him, as well as make his opening statement. Tomorrow really will begin the questioning. And I believe it might go into Thursday. I might be wrong there, but I know they try to do as many questions by the senators. I think Judge Kavanaugh will be confirmed and I think is going to hopefully will have a very long career, at least 20, 30 years on the Supreme Court. I was very much impressed with his background. He's decided over 300 cases. He's well qualified. And in the past, I would say almost automatically would have been confirmed. But we live in interesting times, and the Democrats, I believe, are truly trying to obstruct anything that President Trump is involved with. They're still bitter over losing. And many of them, or at least several of these senators, think they are going to run for president in 2020. The American people want positive, and I emphasize this, positive agendas. Running against Trump is very negative, and that's really, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing they have to offer. Now, I'm not a fan of Trump's, but I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican. But I want the best qualified people to sit on the Supreme Court. Now, that doesn't mean the left in this country is going to agree with any person that the president appoints, but they don't have to agree. Constitution's relatively clear how it's handled. So I was surprised, and I think a lot of people were taken aback. What's happening, it's happening today and it'll probably continue into tomorrow, is people are deliberately disrupting the hearing. And I think this is well orchestrated, planned out, and it started at the very beginning. I wanted you to listen, and this is literally the beginning of the hearing.
Good morning. I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing on the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman,
on the
I'd
Supreme
like to be
Court
recognized for
United
a question
States.
Before we proceed.
Regular order.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome
to Judge Kavanaugh.
We have
not been given an opportunity to have a meaningful
his wife,
hearing
Ashley.
On this nominee.
There are two daughters.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't
and
been able
else joining
to review
us
last
today.
Night, and we believe this hearing should
I
be postponed.
I know this is an exciting day for all of you here,
Mr. Chairman,
and you're rightly proud
Mr. Chairman,
of the judge.
If we cannot be recognized, I move to adjourn.
The American people.
Mr. Chairman, I move
to
adjourn.
Directly.
These are all the leftist Democrats. Some of them think they're going to run for president in 2020. I wish them luck. I'm not impressed. I think this shows disrespect. It's discourteous. And this document nonsense, I think, will be well addressed by Senator Cruz. I'm going to play that in a minute. But that was just the opening. But it continued.
From Judge Kavanaugh, later this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. Mr. Chairman, we have been denied real access to the documents we need to advise.
Mr. Chairman, regular order is called for.
Which turns this hearing into a charade and a mockery of our norms.
Well,
and Mr. Chairman, I therefore...
The Democrats turned it into a mockery, and I think that's how it's going to be perceived, to the extent you're informed as to what went on.
Or move to adjourn this hearing.
Okay.
Now what's going to happen is they're going to be those protesters that are shouting and screaming. And I think this is well planned by the Democrats because it's difficult to get into these hearings. So they had help with the staff from these various senators, and they're going to be thrown out, and they know it. That's why I say they're following a script here. It's not spontaneous. Senator Grassley is waiting to the Capitol Police eject these people, as they should be.
Chuck? Command order. Chuck.
We're not in the executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I ask for a roll call vote on my motion to adjourn.
Now, I want to give a little background. The Senate is adjourned. This is a meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and this is somewhat unusual. Usually the Senate is in session, but there's nothing wrong with having a Judiciary Committee meeting with the Senate being in adjournment.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. I ask for a roll call vote.
We're not in executive session. We will continue as planned.
Mr. Chairman, may I be recognized, sir? Mr. Chairman, I appeal to the chair to recognize myself or one of my colleagues.
You're out of order.
Mr. Chairman, I appeal to be recognized on your sense of decency and integrity. Even the documents you have requested, Mr. Chairman, even the ones that you said, the limited documents you have requested, this committee has not received. And the documents we have, you, sir, have limited committee confidentiality. It should be transparent. This committee, sir, is a violation of even the values I've heard you talk about time and time again, the ideals that we should have. What is the rush? What are we trying to hide by not having the documents out front? What is with the rush? What are we hiding by not letting those documents come?
No one's hiding anything. What the Democrats are trying to use is this hearing, confirmation hearing, to try to get documents that, because, let me give you a little background. The judge, before he was a judge, you know, worked in the Bush White House, was a secretary, staff secretary, and anything that went to the president would go through him. But who controls those documents? It's not the judge. It's President Bush. And there are a lot of documents that will not be seen. The Democrats are trying to use this to get access at the Bush documents, and they're not going to succeed because presidents have a right to keep confidential information that people offer them in terms of advice before they make important policy decisions.
Come out. Sir, this committee is a violation of the values that we as a committee have striven for, transparency. We are rushing through this process in a way that is unnecessary. And I appeal for the motion to at least be voted on.
Mr. Chairman.
At least let's have a vote, because when we wrote you a letter on August 24th asking to have a meeting on this issue, you denied us even the right to meet. So here we are having a meeting. Let's at least debate this issue. Let's at least call this for a vote. I appeal to your sense of fairness and decency, your commitments that you've made to transparency. This violates what you have even said and called for, sir. You've called for documents. You yourself, limited documents.
You see, this is an attempt by several senators. They're showboating is the way I would characterize this. Booker, Carmela Harris. There are two names that probably will run. I don't think they're going to get very far, but it's a free country. You can run, and if no one thought Donald Trump would get very far either, your message has to really resonate with the American people. And while you might be popular in California, New Jersey, across the country, you're simply not. I think this is, they're rude. They're interfering with the regular order of the committee. And let me place, well, let's finish this, and then I want to play what Ted Cruz had to say.
We thought there should be more. We have not received the documents that you have even called for. So, sir, based upon your own principles, your own values, I call for at least to have a debate or a vote on these issues and not for us to rush through this process.
Mr. Chairman, I've heard calls for regular order.
I'd like to respond to Senator Booker.
See, this was planned.
Booker, I think that I respect very much a lot of things you do, but you spoke about my decency and integrity, and I think you are taking advantage of my decency and integrity.
That was an excellent response. Now I want to play what you didn't hear, or I want to say didn't hear. There are people that are watching the entire hearing, not only today, but tomorrow. I'm just going to spotlight some of the highlights, and I think a big highlight is Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He delivers his opening statement, and he addresses the documents.
So why is it that the Democrats are putting so much energy in saying, hand over all of those documents? Because they know beyond a shadow of doubt that President George W. Bush's White House team is not going to allow every piece of paper that went to the president to be made public any more than any other White House would. Republican or Democrat, no White House would allow every piece of paper that went to and from the president to be made public. Indeed, there are rules and laws and procedures for when and how presidential papers become public. And the reason the Democrats are fighting so loudly on this issue is they're making a demand they know is impossible to meet. And by the way, is utterly irrelevant to what actually Judge Kavanaugh thinks, believes, or has said. It would open up all sorts of fishing expeditions to attack, relitigate George W. Bush's record as president and what various cabinet members and senior advisors might or might not have said. But it is, at the end of the day, simply an attempt to distract and delay. And indeed, the multiple motions we've seen from Democrats, delay this confirmation, that reveals the whole joke. Their objective is delay. So what is this fight about? If it's not about documents, if it's not about Judge Kavanaugh's credentials, if it's not about a judicial record, what is this fight about? I believe this fight is nothing more and nothing less than an attempt by our Democratic colleagues to relitigate the 2016 presidential election. 2016 was a hard-fought election all around. And it was the first presidential election in 60 years where Americans went to the polls with a vacant seat on the Supreme Court. One that the next president would fill. Americans knew who had been in that seat, the late Justice Antonin Scalia, one of the greatest jurists ever to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. And it was the first time since President Dwight D. Eisenhower's reelection campaign that a Supreme Court seat was directly on the ballot. Both candidates knew the importance of the vacant Supreme Court seat, and it was a major issue of contention in the presidential election. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were both clear about what kind of justices and judges they would appoint. During all three presidential debates, both candidates were asked what qualities were most important to them when selecting a Supreme Court justice. Secretary Clinton's answer was clear. She wanted a Supreme Court justice who would be a liberal progressive, willing to rewrite the U.S. Constitution, willing to impose liberal policy agendas that she could not get through the democratic process, that the Congress of the United States would not adopt, but that she hoped five unelected lawyers would force on the American people. That's what Hillary Clinton promised for her judicial nominees. Then-candidate Donald Trump gave a very different answer. He said he was looking to appoint judges in the mold of Justice Scalia. He said he wanted to appoint judges who would interpret the Constitution based on its original public meaning, who would interpret the statutes according to the text, and who would uphold the rule of law and treat parties fairly, regardless of who they are or where they come from. Then-candidate Donald Trump also did something that no presidential candidate has done before. He published a list of nominees that he would choose from when filling Justice Scalia's seat, providing unprecedented transparency to the American people. All of this was laid before the American people as they went to the polls on November 8, 2016. And the American people made a choice that night. Now, my Democratic colleagues are not happy with the choice the American people made. But as President Obama famously said, elections have consequences.
They definitely have consequences, and I thought Senator Cruz nailed it. They want to relitigate by doing anything they can. Ultimately, their goal is to impeach and convict President Trump. That's the in the Constitution. That's the remedy if you believe that the President of the United States has engaged in wrongdoing, activity that is beyond the pale, and we need to remove him before the next election. It's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And if Democrats really try, they're, again, going to make fool of themselves. Because you're not going to impeach a president that's doing an outstanding job, whether you like him or not. I don't think everything that Donald Trump has done is right. But a lot in terms of economic policy and getting this country going again, in terms of tax cuts and eliminating a lot of regulation and renegotiating trade deals, especially where U.S. businesses are unfairly treated, especially in China, the American people support. And they also support, and this is the issue that really divides the country, I should say divides the politicians. I don't think it divides the country. Although there is a division, I'm talking immigration. The majority of American people support legal immigration. There is still some debate as to how many per year should be allowed in. Some want zero because immigration is simply out of control, especially illegal immigration. So there is a debate. Should it be zero? Should it be the current number of 1.1 million? Should it be 2 million, 3 million? If you're a regular listener to the show, I've talked on immigration many, many times. I'm of the opinion that somewhere between 250,000 and 500,000 is what Americans support could support, someone in that range, and tie it to the unemployment rate, where if we're in a recession and the unemployment rate is 6% or greater, if we have high unemployment at 6%, the maximum would be 250,000. And should the economy be booming, and we're closer to that, in other words, the unemployment rate is 3% or less, then the maximum amount would be 500,000. Now, that's in terms of legal immigration. So there are some differences of opinion, but it's a matter of degree, not of kind. There is fundamental opposition by a wide margin to the illegal alien invasion of this country. So I highlight that. And what the American people want is enforcement of immigration law. Now, what do the Democrats want? They want open borders. If you can sneak across the border, we'll give you citizenship. The American people don't support that. They don't support, you don't reward illegal behavior. So whether you're Democrats or Republicans, there have been poll after poll, the American people simply want the laws that are on the books today to be enforced. And those that are here illegally, and they're anywhere from 30 to 60 million, to voluntarily go home, and if they don't voluntarily go home, then it's up to law enforcement, in this case, federal law enforcement, immigration, customs enforcement, to enforce the law. The American people believe in the rule of law, and they believe in fairness. And it's not fair to those who come here legally to give and reward by citizenship or a pathway to citizenship or a pathway to legal status, however you want to frame it, or amnesty. You don't reward illegal behavior. You need to come here legally. And if you do, follow the procedure. It might take you many, many years. I understand that. But it's a privilege to be a citizen of the United States. It's not a right. Although the Democratic Party would like to make it a right, what the Democratic Party is trying to do is replace their voter base, because people are leaving both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They're sick and tired of being lied to by the political elites. They don't trust them anymore. Fundamental trust in the government has declined and declined and declined. That's why the approval of Congress has gone down, down, and down. And this example, this temper tantrum, this disruption of the hearing by the Democrats, I think backfires. So if they want to continue doing it, I'll applaud it in the sense they're revealing themselves, what they truly stand for. Because if they truly believe that everyone that sneaks in this country should get citizenship, I'll tell you something, they're not going to get reelected. And if they want to say do away with the police force that's enforcing immigration law, they're not going to be reelected. And they're certainly not going to elect another president if that's what they stand for. Now, I want to play Senator Lindsey Graham, and these are the opening statements. And I think this is very revealing. Now, I'm not a fan of Lindsey Graham. He is, in my mind, a neocon. He's a foreign policy. He's an interventionist. He's for big government. And that's the problem with both parties. They're for big government. But he, I think, really pinned the tail on the donkey.
To my colleagues on the other side, I look forward to working with you, but we have a different view here. I think you got to be blind as to what's going on here. Have you heard of Justice Breyer? Do you know him? You can't say anything, I guess. Where did he come from? He was Ted Kennedy's Senate Judiciary person.
Chief of Staff.
Where do you think Republicans are going to go find a judge? The whole argument is you can be a conservative Republican president, but you got to nominate a liberal to be fair to the country. That's absurd. Where do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg came from? She was the general counsel of the ACLU. Wonderful person. What groups do y'all use to pick from? This is shaping up to be the hypocrisy hearing, and that's hard to do in the Senate in today's time, to be hypocritical. But let me just point to a few of these things. Clinton. It didn't bother anybody for Clinton to nominate Breyer while he was under investigation. We actually did it. It didn't bother any of y'all that Ted Kennedy staff person was his pick. It didn't bother me either, because that's who I expect you to pick. This is ridiculous. You're one of the best choices any Republican could make. As I said with Justice Gorsuch, I am glad you're here, because there were days I'm wondering who he would have picked. And this is a home run from my point of view. Let's talk about Roe v. Wade. Who would ever play politics on the campaign trail with Roe v. Wade? What a bastard Donald Trump is. Until you hear about Hillary Clinton. February the 3rd, 2016. Here's what Hillary Clinton said when asked, does she have a litmus test for SCOTUS nominations, Supreme Court nominees? I do have a litmus test. I have a bunch of litmus tests, because the next president could get as many as 3 appointments, and I hope she's right. We've got to make sure to preserve Roe v. Wade, not let it be nibbled away or repealed. She sounds very open-minded. October 2016, we need a Supreme Court that will stand up on behalf of women's rights. It is important that we not reverse Roe v. Wade. I want a Supreme Court that will stick with Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose. I understand where she's coming from. Anybody running for president over there, I dare you to disagree with her. You will wind up like I did, getting 1%. If you even suggest that you will pick a nominee that's not going to uphold Roe v. Wade, that's the end of you. But you figured that out. You don't need me to tell you. So this is the way we do politics. This is a big decision called Roe v. Wade. There are 2 sides and a bunch of nuances. Here's what I know about you. You're going to take it as president. You wrote a big book, which I will never read. And you're going to tell us what it takes to overturn longstanding precedent. Nobody on this side will care if you overturn Citizens United. Matter of fact, they will cheer you on. Somebody will challenge Citizens United, and you'll probably say, let me hear both sides of the story, then I'll tell you whether or not I should uphold it. Hillary Clinton, we know where she's at on Roe v. Wade, and that's just the way it is. Now, what other things? Executive power. This idea that Trump picked you to save him. Amazing concept. Since you said what you said back in 1998 and 2008, the bottom line is when Clinton was being impeached, my good friend, and this is true, he is my good friend, on February 12, 1999, introduced into the record during the deliberations of the Clinton impeachment trial, an article by Brett Kavanaugh suggesting that you should wait, if there is an indictment, until after the president is out of office. The same concept we're talking about here today, when the shoe was on the other foot, here's what Joe said about your thinking. The president is not simply another individual. He is unique. He is the embodiment of the federal government and the head of a political party. If he is to be removed, the entire government likely would suffer, and the military or economic consequences to the nation could be severe. These repercussions that they are to occur should not result from the judgment of a single prosecutor, whether it be the attorney general or special counsel, and a single jury. Prosecution or non-prosecution of a president is, in short, inevitable, unavoidably a political act. Thus, as the Constitution suggests, the decision about the president while he's in office should be made where all great national political judgments in our country should be made, in the Congress of the United States, according to Joe Biden, the gift that keeps on giving for us. I think that's pretty hypocritical. During the Clinton days, you were right, but all of a sudden you're a danger to the Republic. Let's talk about, there's so many, how many minutes do I have here? The bottom line is...
Don't exceed what White House...
I will not.
That'd be impossible.
Guns. Somehow you're going to make sure that Congress... The bottom line on guns, Dianne Feinstein's a wonderful lady and has passion on this issue about assault weapons. She was able to succeed politically. After 10 years, the gun assault weapons ban expired, and it's been hard to get it reestablished. She introduced legislation in 2013 that got 60 no votes, 16 Democrats. So I don't believe they see you as a threat to the nation if you come out on the idea that the Second Amendment has some meaning. In other words, the political process when it comes to guns is a work in progress, and I'd rather us decide that than you. When it comes to the pillar of virtue, Comey. Harry Reid. That he's been a supporter of Comey and led the fight to get him confirmed, as he believed Comey was a principled public servant. With the deepest regret, I now see that I was wrong. Mr. Nadler from New York. The president can fire him for cause and ought to. He violated all the guidelines and put his thumb on the scale of an election. Mr. Cohen from Tennessee, a Democrat, called on Comey to resign his position effective immediately. I'm sure upon reflection of this action, he will submit his letter of resignation for the nation's good. To my Democratic friends, you are all for getting rid of this guy. Now all of a sudden, the country is turning upside down because Trump did. There's a process to find out what happened in the 2016 election. It's called Mr. Mueller. And I will do everything I can to make sure he finishes his job without political interference. And I'm here to tell anybody in the country who listens that this is so hypocritical of my friends on the other side. When it was their president, Kavanaugh was right. When you're talking about Roe v. Wade, it's okay to promise the nation it will never be overturned. It's okay to pick a Democratic staff member of this committee, but it's not okay to pick somebody who's been a lifelong Republican. People see through this. You had a chance, and you lost. If you want to pick judges from your way of thinking, then you better win an election. I voted for two of your choices, Sotomayor and Kagan. Got a lot of crap. I would suggest you think long and hard if you got a political ambition of voting for this guy, because it will not play well on your side. And why did I do it? I thought they were qualified by any reasonable measure given the history of the Senate. But we have turned the history of the Senate upside down. I found that they were different than I would have picked Sotomayor and Kagan, but by any reasonable measure, they were qualified. You've been on the court for 12 years. You've had 307 decisions. You've been approved before. So I hope people in the country understand this game. It's a game that I am sad to be part of.
That was an outstanding statement by Senator Lindsey Graham. I salute him because normally, occasionally he does this and I applaud him, but on many other issues I don't. And I'm glad he pointed this out. To quote President Obama, elections have consequences, and you better believe they do. We have, I think, sore losers, and no one likes a sore loser. That would be the first thing I would say. The Democratic Party lost. The Democratic Party candidate for president lost. And why? It gets back to trust. They didn't trust her. Yes, I know she got more votes, popular votes, but that's not how you become president. You got to get 270 minimum electoral college votes. President Trump got 304. That's why he's president. It's politics. And I think the American people are seeing through this. And I don't think they like it. Now, I want to remind you the story. I'm looking at the time. I really don't have time to play this. But I urge you to do this. For new listeners, the way you listen to the Pronk Pops show is to go to Panion Blog for the show is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to my most recent shows. But below that, you'll have some of my show prep. This is very heavy in YouTube videos. And what I was going to urge you to do, to refresh your memory, if I had more time, I would have played both of these videos. One was the announcement by President Trump of his pick of Brett Kavanaugh to be the his appointment to the Supreme Court, and then the statement or remarks of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and I think it's somewhat inspirational listening to it, and I really wanted to play it, but I am short of time. I have two more stories that I want to play. So I'm highlighting that to refresh your memory. This gentleman is eminently qualified. Eminently qualified. And I think Democrats and Republicans should confirm him. And I hope some Democrats cross the aisle on this one. I don't think so, but we'll see. See, in the past, a long time ago, we didn't have this type of confirmation hearings. They become highly politicized. And that's one of the themes of the next story. Too much in America has become politicized. Most people don't like that. I was taught when I was growing up by my parents, three things you shouldn't talk about. Don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics, and don't talk about money. Well, I do that all the time, and so do other talk show radio hosts. But most of the American people are not political in the sense that they go about their lives. They have too much to be concerned about. It could be the children. It could be their job. Many are avid supporters of their professional athletic teams, whether it's football, baseball, hockey. And many are more involved in their college sports or their children's sporting activity, whether it's in high school or in, I know I played Little League baseball, Pony League baseball. Sports are important to people. People are fans. They're loyal to their local, either professional ball team, whatever sport it is, or like many who, and let me tell you a little story, and this is sort of a lead-in to the next story. And what that next story is, you probably heard that Nike is celebrating its 30th anniversary of its ad campaign, Just Do It. And it came out today that part of this campaign is Colin Kaepernick, who was quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He renegotiated his contract. He had an option to go free agent, and he exercised it, ladies and gentlemen. He quit the San Francisco 49ers. Now, why do you think he did that? Usually when athletes do that, they think they can make more money as a free agent. You see, I'm all for capitalism. Get the best deal you can. Well, he left the 49ers and wasn't picked up. And now he's suing the National Football League, believing, whether rightly or wrongly, we'll see how this lawsuit turns out, that there's been some conspiracy by the owners to freeze him out. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. I have no opinion, but I have a story that I want to say. When I was a small boy growing up, the team that I backed, and this is when baseball, not football, was the American sport, was the Brooklyn Dodgers. My entire family, all my relatives, were Brooklyn Dodger fans. Why? We were born in Brooklyn. And for many years, they would win their league, but couldn't get past the Yankees. I'm not a Yankee, not at all a New York Yankee fan. And at that time, you had the New York Giants as well. So depending on where you were from, especially in New York, New York City, you were either a Yankee fan, a Giant fan, or a Dodger fan. And if you're from Brooklyn, you were a Dodger fan. And kids supported the Brooklyn Dodgers. And they had some outstanding players. At one time, I could name all of them. I'm not going to do that. But what happened one day? The owners moved the Brooklyn Dodgers to Los Angeles. And yes, the owner was not liked. That's when I woke up to the fact that baseball is a business and they don't really care about the fans. They care about making profits, and they can make bigger profits in larger markets. And New York is a big market, but Los Angeles was even bigger. I just got the signal. I got to start to wrap it up. My opinion on this is Nike can do what it wants, and they're doing it, because this decision to give Kaepernick and highlight him as part, he's one of several athletes, is not going well with many of the loyal customers of Nike. I could understand why they're upset. I would be upset. But you see, I don't buy Nike goods. I don't pay extra money to buy a brand name. So I would never be a customer of Nike. But Nike can engage in this activity, and they're going to lose customers and they're going to gain customers. And they do a lot of advertising, and you'll notice starting right now that the swish of Nike will be on all professional football teams' uniforms. It's all about money, folks. And some people make the right decision about money. Some make the wrong decision. You're free to attend the Dallas Cowboy games if you want or not, or buy their merchandise or not. The same is true with Nike. And I think the NFL has made a big mistake not supporting the fans. But that's par for the course. I've seen that in other sports. Time will tell whether Nike was right in this business decision, and it is a business decision. I think they've damaged their brand and are going to lose customers, but they have done the calculation that they can gain more customers. Now, I was going to cover, but I simply out of time. There's a book. Woodward has published one of his thick books that few people read, and the problem with these books is, to what extent is this true? Now, he always claims he has tapes and all. The thing that caught my eye is President Trump has been very negative about Jeff Sessions. My advice to him is fire him. Stop this critical criticism of him. If you're not happy with your team, change the team. And that's what President Trump should do. And all Attorney General Sessions has to do is appoint a special counsel to investigate the Department of Justice and the FBI in terms of the FISA warrant and the Hillary Clinton investigations. And I think he'd save his job. It's up to him to make that decision. Without further ado, let me close it out with America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show.
Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.